saving money on all your electrical needs at Menards. From wire, tools, testers, and more, Southwire is the perfect choice for your next electrical project. They offer innovative products to help you get your project done right. Hurry in today and save big on all Southwire products at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Menards. Hello, beautiful souls, and welcome to the Manifestation Therapy Podcast. I'm Judy Holly, clinical social worker, trauma therapist, master manifestation coach, and creator of Manifestation Therapy. This podcast blends the wisdom of universal principles with the transformative neuroscience of manifestation, aligning conscious creation with evidence-based healing. Whether you're a practitioner or on your own path of growth, you'll find inspiration for an abundant, aligned life. In each episode, I share strategies, insights, and conversations with healers, mental health professionals, coaches, thought leaders, and individuals with powerful personal stories. Before we begin, a quick note. The views and opinions expressed by guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect my personal beliefs or the principles of manifestation therapy. This is a space for open conversation and exploration, so take what resonates, leave what doesn't, and always honor your own intuition. Okay, so welcome. I am so stoked about this. I feel really good energy from you.
Thanks.
I just want to know your story first. What has led you where you are, and give me some kind of background.
Yeah. I mean, ever since I was a young child, I've always been singing. I've always been to the point where I used to ask my mom, how does the radio work? How do you know the songs that are coming on? I was in theater when I was young. And I did theater all through high school and college and all of that, and did a lot of plays and learned how to perform and act and share and be theatrical and really expressive. And that was something that I guess has really followed me from the time I was really young up until now. And I started in that place. And at 10 years old, I got a guitar for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And it was a Greg Bennett guitar. It was a piece of garbage. My parents didn't know. They had no idea. There were no musicians in the family. So they had no idea. that this was a thing. Well, my grandmother played piano and organ in church, but there was no one. My mom sang, but my dad is like, even in church, he was like not, he was like lip syncing, you know? 10 years old, I started taking guitar lessons. I think the second lesson in, the teacher he had a bit of an ego, and he was trying to get me to learn bar chords on this guitar he probably couldn't. Even if you gave me that guitar today, I probably couldn't do bar chords on it. It was really tough and stiff and a hard neck and hard strings, and just because my parents didn't know, they had no idea. We could have got a better guitar, but they didn't know anything about them. So they were like, we'll just get this guitar from wherever, you know? And so I tried to do these bar chords and I just couldn't. So I gave up. Fast forward to my senior year, maybe junior, senior year of high school. And I signed up for this beginner guitar course. And the first day, the teacher is like, so we're going to talk about open chords. I was like, what do you mean open chords? She was like, oh, strumming like playing like this. And I was like, you mean the last 6 years I could have been playing? I was like, this is so easy. Why was this guy trying to teach me all of this super hard stuff? I mean, from there, I was immediately writing. I was writing a whole lot in class, just journaling and writing things, stories, reflections, all of this.
You were never writing before that?
Not really. No, not to my knowledge. I guess it was... the first song I wrote was a song for my girlfriend in high school. I played in front of my whole school for a talent show.
Wow.
And she hated it. it was a bad song. I mean, you know, it's not one that I would play now, but she was pissed. But I loved being on stage, and I loved sharing with people and expressing from that authentic place. So fast forward through high school and into college, I was sort of just fiddling around, playing guitar, playing at open mics, and I studied creative writing and environmental studies. I was hanging out with a friend of mine who was a really good musician. He was like, hey, man, like, you should talk to this guitar teacher. Like, why don't you come meet him? So I went and I met him and talked, and he was like, play him a song. So I played him a song. And so I went into the first lesson and I had a new song. I was writing all the time, just whatever was on my mind, and mostly inspired by folk music, just rootsy folk stuff. And so he sort of just got to the point where we would just workshop songs. He helped me sort of learn how to structure and how to build choruses and bridges and dynamics and things like that. And I was playing open mics and I was playing events and all of these things, and just sort of cutting my teeth, they say. From there, I went to Australia. I studied abroad there. And when I was there, I was hanging out with a homestay family, and there was always a guitar around, and we were just, you know, playing around. And I came back from Australia a little more serious about it, kept playing more open mics. Fast forward, I graduate. I don't have anywhere to go. I'm trying to get a job in the environmental industry in some fashion. And I go back home to Marion, Massachusetts, small conservative town in the southeast coast of Massachusetts. I didn't know what I was doing. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. My parents are like, you have to do something. You can't just sit here and play video games. I was like, why not? Sounds fine to me. A friend of mine called me and he was like, hey man, we have this opportunity in Northeast Pennsylvania. We don't necessarily have funding, but we have a place to live and we have food. And I was like, well, anything beats here. So let's go. So I just got in this old car that my grandmother left to my parents and just hightailed it to Northeast Pennsylvania. At the time, writing was always a big part of this. So my senior year in high school, I wrote a novel, and it was loosely based on a relationship that I was going through. At the awards night, I remember my teacher, Teresa Dahl, was talking about the student who had written this novel. And she was like, and most people say they're writing a novel, but they don't really know what they're talking about. And she was like, but I really think like this student is going to go really far. And the guy next to me is like, man, this guy sounds awesome. I was like, she's talking about me. College, I submitted a 28-page continuation of Catcher in the Rye to get admitted into college instead of whatever SATs or, you know, standardized testing is not my thing. But I applied to early decision and I got into this school. So I was writing this whole time, honing my writing skills and taking all these writing classes and skipping class to like get drunk and like smoke and like write, you know, because that's all I wanted to do was write. And I didn't want to read other people's stuff. I just wanted to write as much as I possibly could. So I was writing about everything and publishing things in the school paper and like making enemies and like all of this stuff, because I was speaking really dense truth, especially about I was in a fraternity once upon a time and just all of the things that I witnessed. Yeah, it's a full spectrum story. So I'm writing all the time and I'm cultivating all this. And in Australia, I wrote two books simultaneously at the same time. So I'm constantly writing pages and reflections and learning how to understand who I am. I guess my sophomore year, I eat LSD for the first time and I have this wild experience. And I start talking more about that and leaning more into that and writing from that place of everything just seems so beautiful. Learning more about the world and trying to figure out all this stuff. Anyway, so I'm on my way to Northeast Pennsylvania and I'm in the car and I get a call from this environmental news magazine called Inhabitat. And I had been talking with them about wanting to share where I was going and all the things that we were going to be doing, because this was a nonprofit. It was a new nonprofit. It was unlike anything they'd ever heard of. So I was talking to them and they were like, yes, sure. You'll be our on the ground fracking guy. I was an undercover journalist for this environmental news magazine, kind of, you know, in the sense that everybody around us. So I guess I'm on the phone with them and we're talking and blah, blah, blah. And they're like, yeah, you take pictures and do this thing. And I was making $100 an article and I was like, cool. You know, I take pictures. I was a terrible camera, but it was something. And yeah. I was taking pictures and writing these articles about what was going on. I get to Northeast Pennsylvania and there's nothing to do. I mean, there's nothing to do but drink and be depressed.
Doesn't seem like you.
No, it was so interesting. While I was there, there was this river that I would sit out by behind the house. And the only thing that would keep me sane is writing, was playing songs. I would play for the creatures in this river. Beavers would float by, all of these, you know, and I would get these downloads from the land and from whatever else, other things I was bringing into my life. Then as I was moving away from this environmental job, I was hanging out more with this woman who was obsessed with this guy, Todd Snyder, who is an infamous folk musician. We drove like 3 hours to go see this guy. He's on stage telling stories and singing songs. And I was like, this is it. Like, this is me. This is what I want to do. This is what I need to do. Yeah. So I was telling this story to my friend today. He was like, what was the thing that really got you? You know, why do you play music really? Right. Or what is a moment in your life that you knew that you needed to do this? For some reason, we were demoing a trailer for something. And I'm just witnessing this family just get, you know, everything they own just destroyed. I just lost it. I was just like, how could this possibly be just? How could this be fair that these people who are so nice, and these industry people came in and they said, we're going to drill one well and then we're going to leave. I promise. 850 and 900 violations later, they were still going. That was 10 years ago. I wrote this thing later on in a reflection and it said, some people don't want to give trailer trash the opportunity they were born without. It's like they don't even want to give them that opportunity because X thing is more important, money, or usually money, power, greed. Like I said, the people were really resonating with the songs I was playing. They were like, you're telling our story to the world. And no one's done that. From there, I was just propelled. I mean, I was like just on the road, constantly playing wherever I could, sharing around campfire, just hundreds or thousands of campfires, festivals, events, all sorts, just meeting all walks of life. Sharing medicine music that was medicine from the land and from the people, and with an underlying theme of hope and faith. Now I'm learning that I was holding space around campfires for people. To me, it's just playing songs, but other people witness it in a way that people say I put to words the things that they've been trying to understand but can't. And that has become my medicine. Some of the most powerful things to do for me are to look back over old lyrics and see that I knew all along all of these things, all of the things that I deal with on a daily basis, that any of us deal with on a daily basis, are written in a song somewhere that I have. Anytime someone's going through something, I'm like, I have a song for that. Or, and I play them a song. And then they're like, that's exactly what I was saying. Where did that song come from? How did you get in my head? How did you know where? So the idea and the place where I am in the story now is this remembering.
Okay.
People will say, oh, I've heard that song before. And I'm like, no, you haven't. That song doesn't exist anywhere. There's no recording of it. There's no way you could have heard it. They're like, yeah, no, I swear I've heard. I'm like, no, there's really no way. But the reason that people get it is because it's a memory.
So is that being remembered. Where the title Moment to Memory comes from?
We write songs in a moment and they become a memory. And then we can revisit that moment in time. I get out of the way enough to put myself back in the moment. That's when the song comes through the most powerful.
Okay.
Because it's taking that moment and reliving it with all of the foresight I have now, looking back. So it's past, present, future, all coming together in one moment. That's where the idea of the record title comes from.
Tell me about how you work with people that are struggling. What they reach out and then you intuitively play for them? How does it work?
So I've started holding space intentionally in this offering. It's a ceremony called the Sacred Conversation. It's at its core, it's not advice. It's not coaching. And it's not, I'm not trying to fix anything. There's nothing wrong with people. They just forgot.
Right.
And these songs, so people tell me what they're moving through. And I say, well, what you're moving through sounds kind of like this. And then I play a song. And then they say, well, that makes me think of this. That brings up this thing. And then I say, well, that leads me to this song. So it's sort of a conversation guided by mostly through music and presence. But I'm not saying, oh, I think you should do this. I'm just saying what you're saying sounds like this. And here's this song. Maybe this is kind of what you're moving through. It just opens up the container in a really organic way. For the first session, I came with questions and I didn't ask any of them because the questions were irrelevant. Mm-hmm. People have been closed for so long that when they open up, it all just comes flooding in. I can tell after I talk to them, they're more relaxed, they're more calm, their demeanor changes. I was talking to this girl last night. She was like for the first 30 minutes, I could not get a word, not even if I tried, not even if I had or air horn, you know, couldn't say anything. Eventually, she slowed down and I was like, hey, this sounds like this. And it was a pre-introduction conversation. It was more like an intention session, but it was a long one. It was 2.5 hours because she just had so much to hold. When I'm in that space and being of service in that way, I don't get burned out. I don't feel like it's too much because people need to be witnessed in their muchness, to quote a friend of mine. Because we have this idea that our authentic self is too much or not enough. Or a friend of mine said to me the other day, you're always going to be too much for people who aren't enough. People don't even know that they're hiding behind these masks, these pieces of themselves that they've convinced themselves are them based on societal programming, things their parents did and ancestral trauma and generations of all of these things that have put them in this box. And when you start to chip away at that box, there's a whole world out there. You don't have to talk about the weather. You don't have to talk about small talk things or whatever. Don't walk on eggshells. We only get so much time in this earth walk to spend it in a phone or, you know, worrying what people think of you or constantly just second guessing and falling into these patterns. You feel like this is it. This is the best it's going to get because that's how good we think we are. We don't realize that we are these divine beings that deserve the best. There's a lot of superficiality in that world. And when we really sit with the deeper parts and we sit with the deeper lyrics and the deeper meaning of songs and art and wisdom, I mean, we used to sit around campfires and tell stories and learn from the elders and learn the old ways. And that is dying. I witnessed in Nepal, in rural Nepal, just a month and a half ago, in Pokhara, they're building a 6-lane highway to Kathmandu. My friend Shri and I were walking through this, what will be a development. You can see we're walking down from the mountain, and there's all of these parcels of land that have been parceled out in boxes. And there's you can see the village houses over here. And then there's like a modern house. Then there's this like neighborhood, like a subdivision. And it says, welcome to New York County. This is the end of the villages.
Right.
And we're seeing that on a global scale right now. Strange, because there's also this new earth paradigm moving away from the shiny westernized view of the world and moving back toward being barefoot, eating primal diets, connecting with the land, growing food, raising animals, having a family, having community, having meals together, sitting around the fire, telling stories, singing songs, sharing what's on our hearts. We're just spiking ourselves with dopamine that we can get naturally from doing breath work or meditation or singing songs. You know, a lot of the most fun that I have in life is talking to people and learning their stories, because it not only inspires me and gives me creative fuel, but it reminds me that I'm so blessed to live this life, that I can romp around the world just sharing music and being taken care of by people because they believe in the things that are coming through me from the land and from all of these different mediums.
What is your inner work? How do you stay mindful and practice that? Especially if you're working with someone, what are your thoughts happening, or how do you kind of stay in your space?
Well, every day I wake up and I immediately do a 20-minute yoga nidra, and then I do 20 minutes of breath work before I leave the bed, before I do anything else. I generally don't touch my phone for the first 2 hours I'm awake, other than just to put on the yoga nidra or the breath work.
Amazing.
Then I'll get up. I'll do a bunch of sit-ups. Eat something, go outside, ground. I have workout routine that I do. So I wake up maybe 7:30 a.m.-ish pretty much every day. And by 9, I'm either eating or start. My morning practice is probably 1.5 to 2 hour thing.
Okay. Yeah.
And the two things that I don't compromise on are the yoga nidra and the breath work. If I don't do both of those two things.
And you just got to this point through your own work, or did you have your own therapy, or was it the writing?
Yeah, mostly I've been my own therapist. Yeah, I mean, I've run into a lot of people who do healing work. I've run into amazing healers, massage therapists, body workers, hypnotherapists.
Breath work itself can heal the body. It's very...
Breath work, yeah, breath work. I have misalignments in my spine and feet. I'm all about primal mobility and really tapping into the ways in which our ancestors were moving.
Right.
I'm moving more away from modern day gym workouts and moving toward these primal movements and mobility, so that when in nature am I going to need a deadlift 400 pounds? As long as you're limber and you're agile and you can move and you can... I spend most of my time outside bare. I haven't worn shoes in 5 months.
That's good grounding.
I wore shoes in the airport because I didn't want to put them in my bag because my bag was a little overfull. But other than that, I haven't worn shoes in 5 months.
What might be a creative challenge you have, or how do you face those, or block? Do you get those?
You mean writer's block or something?
Yeah.
I've never in my life had writer's block.
Wow.
Never once. Okay. Because there's people who force themselves to write. They'll be like, oh, from this time to this time, I'm going to write. And I'm going to force myself to write. That's not how inspiration works. If you're inspired, write. If you're not inspired, don't write. Because journal, for sure, journal or whatever. But don't try to force something. The music I play is so impactful for people is because some of the songs that come through are so deep and so sad that... A lot of the times, that's the only time that I cry is when I'm writing. And it'll be brief, but it'll be so strong because a lyric will just hit me and I'll just be like, man, you had to bring that one through now? This is going to help so many people.
Yeah.
And that's always what it's about, is being of service. I'm not here to make a bunch of money. I'm here because I want to impact the most people. Going from hopelessness and breaking free of that to see myself making a difference has been one of the most life-changing things of my entire existence. Having people say, wow, you inspired me just from a night around a campfire. You inspired me to pick up my guitar and write a song for the first time. Or someone's like, wow, I left my toxic marriage because you shared this song. Or, inspired people to open music studios and quit their jobs and move across the country. Or one time in college, I entered this poetry contest. The girl who won came up to me and said, you inspired me to enter this contest.
Oh, nice.
And there's no greater honor than witnessing someone who you inspired surpass you in some way.
I totally understand what you're saying, because as a therapist, I've had some of my clients, when I work with youth, who decide to become into psychology or become therapists or supportive in some way. Manifestation mean to you?
I think it's manifestation happens. It's interesting because before today, I would have answered this question differently. Manifestation happens when you rise to the frequency of what you're calling in and what you deserve. My highest timeline is serving. I mean, whether or not it's multiple or it's just a one-off, there's someone who does a session and then they say, I have this friend and they're going through a lot. I don't know anything about this friend, but they just come into the space. They are utterly transformed. At the end of the session, they say, I want to give you $20,000 a month to do this for as many people as you can. Just keep going. In order to bring that person into my field, I need to live like the sessions I'm playing and sharing and holding space for are worth $20,000 a month. Bringing that vibration up to, right. Because the universe, the multiverse, the collective energy is going to meet you where you're at.
Right.
If you're in disharmony, it's going to meet you in disharmony. But if you're in harmony and you're in balance, that's when things start happening. I'm very sure of myself. I know what I want. I have boundaries and needs, and I'm really good at expressing those things. I've stepped into expressing those things in a really beautiful way.
Which and, is a good thing.
Yeah. And there's always going to be people who don't feel like enough, who feel like they need to cap. One person is going to impact your life. It's about reaching that one person whose life is forever transformed. And my friend Cody said something today. He was like, how long are you with the person that has one session with you? And I was like, forever. And he's like, for the rest of their life.
Right.
So what is that worth? Yeah. What is that worth to you? What is the monetary value of being with someone for the rest of their life?
Yeah, that's so true. I never thought of it.
I have an interesting relationship with money because this paper, whatever, is worth X amount and you need to pay me this so that I can have more of this. Money's not worth a whole lot. Most of the time we're trading money for something we really want.
Yes, exactly.
If there's this thing that I can give ultimate transformation, freedom from whatever you're experiencing, you're going to see this thing as way more.
It's not about the how you get it. It's about how you're going to feel when you have.
Yeah. And money's really not worth anything because we're constantly trying to get rid of it. I was like, if I was in one spot and someone was like, can I pay you 500 dragon fruits? Absolutely. You can. Yes. Pay me in fruit. Lots of it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Right. Used to be you just had access to those things. You didn't have to pay to live.
Playing a song. Are you going to play something?
So this one came through the other day. I was it was interesting. It's so interesting how these songs come through because there's really no rhyme or reason. They just pop through. I was thinking about rain clouds and what makes them so heavy and why they feel so dense. Yeah. It's just sort of like a sonnet or something. It's called Sadness and a Golden Smile.
Okay.
What's in a rain cloud makes it heavy to hold. Drowning in the density as everything unfolds, do you not honor your mother's song? Bypass all the wounds. Did words, hoping it'll all dissolve. When was the last time you stared love in the eyes? Laughing as the tears rolled down, screaming at the sky. Thank you for bruises. Thank you for pain. Without which I'd never learn, wasn't the one to blame. Sing me your stories, and know they're not true. Everything you're making up, attempting to subdue, all of your shadows and all of your light. Are merely glimmers cast remainders from past lives. Every lover that passes your way teaches you to hold yourself with tenderness and grace, though it could shatter and leave you alone. Savor all the sweetness, baby, until that ship is gone. Come back to self now. Let Pachamama provide. Lay on her soft dirt ground and rest and realign. You are an elder and you are a child. Here to heal your lineage with sadness and a golden smile.
Oh, that was amazing. So beautiful. Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, it's just
So how do people find you?
Everything lives on penjohnson.net. PennJohnson.net. I do all of my own website, all of the things. So I'm very proud of the website. So I guess there's several projects that I'm involved with right now. There's the album From Moment to Memory. It's everywhere. There's these things I've been writing called fragments, and they're sort of pieces from the journey, little writings. There's no rhyme or reason to them. There's the Sacred Conversation, of course, one-on-one work. Then there's something deeper called the Inner Journey of Remembrance, which is more like a medicine journey. And that's also on the Sacred Conversation page. And this new community that I've started, it's called the Ember Keepers.
Oh, nice.
They can join this community and there's going to be voice memos. There's going to be writing. There's going to be introductions. I mean, things that I update, things that other people say. So we can all learn from each other and share our art.
Is there anything that I didn't ask that you wish I would have? Or that you didn't say that you wish you would have?
That's such an interesting question. We really did good work. One of the most important things about writing songs, channeling songs, catching songs, or stories, or creating art, is finding beauty in the chaos, finding the lyrics and the melodies and the stillness. You don't need to escape into psychedelics, or I wouldn't recommend the way I live my life probably to anybody, because most people couldn't handle it. The chaos, the calculated chaos with which I live my life is super nervous system disrupting every day. If you can pack up everything you own in 15 minutes and be out of wherever you are, you will always get better at writing songs. If you spend time in nature and you listen, just really listen, things will just come to you. If you match the frequency of the things around you and you stop to notice and you breathe in all of what's happening around you and you get out of the phone and you get out of the judgment and you get out of the worrying what other people are doing, at the end of your life, you get to see your life and what you and how you interacted with people and all the things that you did. And a large percentage of that is going to be you looking at a phone. So however you can get away and get out and use the phone as a tool, use social media as a tool, use the internet as a tool, use ChatGPT as a tool. Don't get caught in the dopamine rushes and all of the things. It's like, ultimately, you're going to learn so much more from the forest than you're going to learn from a phone. So I guess that.
That's beautiful. Thank you.